Today, saints, we begin a new sermon series entitled When Life Knocks You Down. How many know a little bit of something about that now? When life knocks you down, amen. We all know life ain't easy, amen. Amen. But today, our specific message under that heading, When Life Knocks You Down, is I failed, now what? Now, next Sunday, Pastor Kelly will be preaching on God specializes in Plan B. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And then the following Sunday after that, Pastor Rick will wrap up our series with What's Left. All right. Amen. So today I fail. Now what? All right. We know everyone loves a winner. Amen. Everyone loves the winner. But the problem is we've all failed. All right. And not just our Cavaliers, amen, amen, in their hopes of winning the NBA World Championship title, all right? So I want you to just, we're going to get this over with, turn to your neighbor and admit to your neighbor, okay, okay, I admit it, I have failed, there's been a time or two, maybe three or four, some of us can say 10 or 10 times 10, but we all can admit at some point we all have failed. In some way. Amen. Praise God. Well, saints, when we go through failures, what are our first questions? Sometimes we say, oh, why is this happening to me? Or we'll say, oh, why are these people doing this to me? Or why did I get the family I got? Or why am I here on this job? Or why is God allowing this to happen? Has anybody asked any of question like that or something similar, okay. Hallelujah. But you know what, saints? Better questions to ask might be, what can I learn from this experience? What is God teaching me through this failure? Well, saints, from the life of Peter, today we can learn some helpful lessons on how to handle failure. And the first of all is, failure is common to us all. Amen. Hey, somebody say amen. 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 For at various stages in our lives, we will all experience different kinds of failures. Now, some failures are out of our control. And Jesus himself, he experienced failure. Mark 6, 1 through 6, an account where he did. It says Jesus experienced failure from a human point of view because he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. You see, from the world's view, Jesus was a failure. He didn't set up an earthly kingdom and bring peace on earth. He died on a cruel, old, rugged cross, saints, by the religious and non-religious leaders of his day. The Apostle Paul experienced one failure after another. 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 30 says, Paul gives a litany of failures. He talks about hardships. He talks about persecutions and pain. And he could say, I've been down for the count of nine, but I'm getting up. I've been knocked down, but I'm not out. We are afflicted, he says, in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Hallelujah. Commentator William Barclay, he translates those verses this way. He says, we are sore pressed at every point, but not hemmed in. We are at our wit's end, but never at our hope's end. We are persecuted by others, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked out, but not knocked out. Hallelujah. I want you to turn and encourage your neighbor right now. Knocked down, maybe, but not knocked out. Maybe, but not knocked out. Not knocked out. All right, saints, that is this series and what this message is about. But before we get started, let's just join our hearts in prayer. Eternal God, we say thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your presence in our lives, oh God. And oh, we deeply desire to live lives that will be in harmony with your plan for our lives. We acknowledge that our best efforts do not always succeed. There are times when we fail miserably. So we ask that you would speak now as we actively listen to the preaching of your precious word. Enable us to learn from you, O God, the ways that we need to follow, the confessions that we need to make, and the commitments that we need to keep. And we praise and we thank you ahead of time, Lord Jesus, in your precious and mighty name. And all God's people join together to say, amen and amen, amen. Saints, in the 70s, there was a runaway hit movie starring Sylvester Stallone entitled Rocky. Now, many people, including myself and Pastor Rick, were unaware that the movie was based on a real-life boxer named Chuck Werner. Otherwise, he was known as the Beyond Bleeder. And he bled so easily, that's how he got his name, and he bled freely throughout his fight, so he was known as the Bleeder. Anyhow, Werner was a good fighter, but he was not really a great fighter. And so when he was scheduled to fight the great Muhammad Ali, almost everyone figured, oh my goodness, I mean, he wasn't going to last through a couple rounds, more or less maybe one round. He was a 20-1 underdog. And just before the bout, Ali, you know, he was kind of a bragging type boxer. And so he was bragging, I'm getting paid $1.5 million to fight this pup. This is fool's gold, he said. This sucker is a clinch. Yeah, that's how Muhammad Ali talked. And Muhammad Ali went on to predict that he would knock Werner out in 3 rounds. Now, that's not the way, for those of you who know boxing history, that's not the way it turned out. Werner prepared harder for that fight than any he had ever before in his life. As a result, not only did he last through 15 rounds, he actually knocked Ali down with one of his punches, something that very few boxers ever had accomplished. After the fight, Ali praised Werner by saying, there's not another human being in the world that can go 15 rounds like that. According to the AP's account, for 14 rounds and for most of the 15th, the big, awkward barroom brawler from New Jersey stood toe-to-toe with the world's heavyweight title holder, taking Ali's best shots without even buckling. And so, Saints, the bomber should not have been able to last in the ring with Muhammad for 3 rounds, let alone for 15 whole rounds. He wasn't nearly as good of a fighter as Muhammad Ali was, and yet he did what few of the best could do. He stayed on his feet to the final round, and he gave nearly as good as he got. Hallelujah. So, Saints, we've seen this plot line in dozens of lives and in movies, but today I want us to take a quick look at a short clip from the movie Rocky and get a visual understanding of life literally knocking.
Thank you. It's
a story of a lost cause. It's a fighter's past his prime, outmatched and beaten, and yet coming back in the rounds to arise victoriously, beating the more powerful and talented opponent. And so what we read about today in Acts 4 is the story of one such hero, a man named Peter, a man whose name meant rock or Rocky. All right. Peter's name meant Rocky. Amen. So here in Acts 4, we're seeing Peter as a man of boldness, a man of courage, a man who is willing to face the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jewish nation, a man who not only intended to preach Christ no matter what the cost, saints, but who preached with boldness, hallelujah, that most of us would envy. However, but I say however, however, not more than 2 months earlier, Peter was a beaten man. He had stepped into the ring with a better opponent and a demonic force who a few new equals. He had been beaten badly. And Jesus had warned Peter in Luke 22:31. This is what this passage we've been studying. And last week in our life-sharing Bible study was an awesome study. Jesus says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Oh, saints, every group this past week in life-sharing Bible study, every group reported a lively and awesome discussion. Many of us recalling times of failures in our own lives, times of betrayal, times of hurt, times of pain in our own lives. And in this passage, Satan had hurt Peter badly. And not only did Peter end up denying Christ 3 times before the crucifixion, but after the crucifixion, John 20:19 tells us, John tells us that Peter and the other disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Well, now, there are some who might say, well, Pastor Chubby, do you mean to say that Peter's failures were because the devil made him do it? Well, partly. For one thing, Jesus did warn Peter that Satan had demanded to sift him like wheat. And that tells us that there was something going on behind the scenes, that there were spiritual powers that we don't know everything about. A spiritual struggle between the powers of darkness and a mere mortal named Peter. A battle that Peter could never win on his own. And in like fashion, saints, we're warned as Christians that we are engaged in the same kind of spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that our conflict is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. On our own, saints, we don't have what it takes. But through the power and presence of Jesus Christ in our lives, we have all that we need to be victorious. In other words, when we step in the ring for Jesus Christ, amen, when we become Christians, when we go to church, when we spend time in prayer, when we are reading the Word of God, when we are talking to others about Jesus Christ, we are facing off against Satan himself. And so our point today, you can look at it with me. The third point, I want us to read it together. The third point in our notes. From the moment we said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Satan's objective was to take us out of the fight. Know that. I want you to know that today. Hear me clearly, dear friend. Satan's objective is to do whatever is necessary to bring you down. Morally, spiritually, physically, mentally, to hurt you. To hurt you so badly, you'd never be much of a threat to his plans or his purposes. And that's what he tried with Peter. And he nearly succeeded. Peter had been one of the staunchest followers of Jesus right from the very start. He had been a fisherman. He had been a hard-nosed, stubborn kind of personality, kind of rough and, and coarse blue-collar kind of guy who earned his living from braving the elements. It's not easy being a fisherman and hoping to bring in enough fish, enough to feed his family and to pay his bills. And as he held true in our life-sharing class this week, I find that people, when we study Peter, either they approach this study of Peter with sympathy or they approach it with tough judgment. Some people feel so bad for Peter and what had happened, and they show compassion. And then there's others that say, he should have known better. What was wrong with that brother? Peter, which means rock, was about to have his heart smashed. And his greatest lesson would not be about greatness, but it would be about grace. Hallelujah. God's amazing and beautiful grace. Peter was about to fail, saints, and fail hard, but praise be to God, he was also about to experience God's forgiveness and God's love and restoration. So today, I want to sympathize with Peter. I want us to look at his failure and gain some encouragement through it. So we're going to look closely at Peter, in particular, his failure. Well, saints, what was it? Peter was about to fail when he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you all the way to prison. I'm ready, Lord, to go all the way with you to death. He was arguing with Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, I am. I'm ready to go. Oh, I'm certain that I'm not going to fall. I'm going to go all the way with you. Now, when he was doing this arguing with Jesus, maybe he was just trying to just say, Jesus, you're wrong. I know I'm going to go all the way. But Jesus knew that Peter was about to tumble. The evening progressed, saints, like this. Judas flees. Jesus and the 11 disciples end up in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas brings a mob into Jesus, and after a skirmish in which Peter lops off part of the ear of the high priest's servant, all of the disciples, they flee. Mark, he runs off his way naked, and the others, they run off another way. Now, Peter and John, they resurface again, we see, at the high priest's courtyard. And from there, they can see Jesus' interrogation as they stand around warming themselves at the fire, you know, just looking on. And three times, Scripture tells us, Peter is asked if he knows this Jesus guy. And that everybody is all in uproar over this Jesus. Well, twice, Peter responded with, no, I don't. I don't know him. No, I don't. The third time was more of an old scripture tells us, or a curse. And he shouted, for God's sake, I don't know him. And the Bible tells us that at that point, a rooster crows. Jesus looks down at him, eye to eye. And Peter is filled with remorse for what he had just done. And he too runs off in the night. Peter is really Simon after all. Well, now, saints, what just happened here is what Jesus said in verse 31. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. Now, saints, I want us to know the you in that verse, it means all of the disciples. It doesn't just mean Peter. It is plural. The you is plural, which means that Satan asked to ruin all of them. He wanted to ruin everyone. He wanted to shred and to sift every one of them. The you is plural. How many are willing to admit that we feel that way sometimes, that the enemy is just trying to sift us, trying to, it's like we're a volleyball. You go to a volleyball game and that ball, bam, 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 bam. Then Satan is just bamming us all over the place. Now, I want to share just something powerful from this passage that I know will encourage us the next time we're feeling like we're just being bam, bam, bam down in our lives. First, dear friends, we need to know that Jesus is on our side. Would you just encourage your neighbor, touch your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, Jesus is on our side. Jesus is on our side. Hallelujah. Jesus told Simon Peter that he was praying for him. Woo, hallelujah! Jesus knew that Peter was going to stumble. And so he right there was still supporting him. For those who aren't aware and don't understand God's great and tremendous love for us, saints, God loves us so very much that God walks with us, talks with us, God wins for us, God rests with us, God loves us. And it's a misconception for those who don't realize that somehow God wants to catch us sinning. God wants to catch us making a mistake. God wants to catch us in a failure, catch us messing up. This is so far from the truth. Jesus knew that Peter was about to fail, and he warns Peter. And at the same time, he comforts Peter as well. And Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Jesus said that Peter would turn back, that Peter would come back, hallelujah, to him. Oh, saints, has anybody here failed in your life? And because of the grace of God, you made a comeback. Hallelujah! Praise your name, Lord Jesus! Generally, we are said to make a comeback when we fall behind, and then we make it to the point of recovery. Miraculously, we start to recover. We gain momentum, and we end up winning again. Hallelujah. I have, in my life, failed so many times. Amen. So many times. We would be here for many, many weeks if I got started on how it sounds out there. Praise God. I was thinking of the many times. One time, I said, well, I'm going to share this one because it's kind of funny. When I was, the day I turned 16, I was driving. I had my driving permit. I had wanted to drive for so long. The day I turned 16, I would have my permit, and my mother, my granddad, my dad, I was driving. I'm driving you everywhere. No, you don't never have to drive nowhere. I'm going to do all the driving around here. I'm going to be the driver. Okay, so I'm driving. I could drive. So then my mom, the day it's time for me to take my driver's license test, my mom took me down. I drove. She rode with me. I drove down there. I said, all right, you just wait here. I'll be right back with my license, you know. And so I got in the car with this man. Hello. He didn't have too much to say. He said, all right, let's get started. Once you go this way, that way. And so I drove, and I thought I was just showing him my skills. I was so good. Oh, praise God. So we got back, and I parallel parked. And so we got back, and I looked at him, and he said, you failed. And I said, fail what? I said, fail what? He said, you failed the driving test. I said, what? What? Why would you say I failed the driving test? He said, for one thing, he said, on so-and-so corner, you didn't come to a complete stop. I was thinking, how long did you want me to stop at the stop sign? I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh, and then he said, and for another thing, when we was going down so-and-so street, you was going 28 miles an hour. Didn't you see that thing said 25? I'm like, oh man, I didn't see that. Oh, I thought to myself, didn't you see how I was turning that wheel with one finger? Couldn't you see how when I parallel parked, I had one arm over the chair and I was just... Couldn't you see that? Oh, Lord, I was so upset. Oh, man. I got that car. My mom said, well, you got it? I said, well, Earl, you know, it goes like this. Yeah, see what had happened was, I didn't quite get it today, you know. And the man said I could come back in 6 weeks and try it again. Okay, so then I told all my friends, next time y'all see me, I have my license, you know. And they said, oh, you got your license. Well, you see what happened, blah, blah, blah. So then, oh, humbly, hallelujah, 6 weeks I was ready. I got in that car, and so when we came to the first stop, and then the man looked back at me like, are you going to go forward or not? And I went... I was going so slow. Oh, God. It was killing me, but I did it. Hallelujah. And then when I got back, congratulations. You passed. I'm like, wow. Hallelujah. Oh, man. I couldn't couldn't believe I failed that thing. Oh, I couldn't believe it. But you know, hallelujah. I've had many more I could stand up here and tell you all about. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. But you know, saints, when we fail, can we make a comeback? Yes, we can make a comeback. Hallelujah. If we've been behind in life and it seems impossible, it is possible for us to regain momentum. Hallelujah. If we have fallen out of favor with God, thank you for your grace and mercy and for your forgiveness, Lord. Oh, we can come back. The good news for believers is that we serve a God who specializes in assisted comebacks. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord God. Oh, God specializes. God showers grace and mercy and compassion and forgiveness on all those who believe. And as Christian saints, we praise God for God's willingness to help us come back, to help us through our setbacks, our failures, and to experience life victories. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to tell your neighbor, down, but never out. Down, but never out. In our Old Testament text, Micah 7, Micah prophesied that though the people of God were down, the nation would recover. Hallelujah. Though depressed, the nation would rise out of its depressed situation. Though out of favor, the nation would recover as it comes back from its national scorn. Micah made it plain that setbacks because of sins, because of mistakes, because of failures, because of errors, fumble plays can be expected. However, God's people should never lose hope, amen, because this text focuses on the prophet Micah as he speaks to Israel about its national dilemma. And at the time of the text, the people were suffering. They were suffering considerable hardship. They were in a depressed condition. All they heard was bad news about the nation's economy. All they heard was bad news about the nation's security. The nation's enemies were gloating over Israel, rejoicing at the helplessness of the Israelites to recover and to get back in the game. Micah here painted a dream picture for Israel that portrayed them trailing, losing ground, fumbling, and making sinful errors that would cause them to fall out of favor. However, everybody say, however. However, the prophet offered a word of hope. Through the situation, even though it was dark, Micah 7, 8, it says, Israel will rise. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Hallelujah! Saints, the pilgrimage of faith is a hopeful one. Micah spoke of Jerusalem's doom and of its future hope. Hallelujah. Jerusalem's foes rejoiced over its fall and taunted its inhabitants. Verse 10, they said, where is the Lord your God? They asked. So though for a moment Jerusalem has fallen, Micah predicted its restoration. Saints, the hope of God's people, it cannot be destroyed by circumstances. Thank you, Lord God. No matter what's happening, God's people always have a better day. High five your neighbor and say, we always have a better day. We always have a better day. Even after failures, even after setbacks, God would help them. God will help us make comebacks, amen, that will baffle our enemies. Hallelujah. So, saints, it's time to put your past failures and falls in their proper faith. And that is under your feet. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's what I did with that failing my first license. Hallelujah. It's under my feet. Praise God. Amen. So touch your neighbor and say, get over it, neighbor, and move on. Move on. Get over it and move on. Hallelujah. Now, saints, there's lessons from Micah, and there's lessons from Peter's failure and recovery that I apply to my own life and we all can apply. And the first is to recognize that God was not taken by surprise by whatever failure took place in your life, in my life. God was not surprised. Jesus predicted Peter's moral lapse. Amen. In Luke 22, 31 and 32. Jesus also gave him a warning, and then he gave him a direction. Amen. And it's good to know you are loved on both sides of your experience. God loves you before you fall. God loves you after you fall. God loves you in the middle of it. Hallelujah. Oh, God's love is unconditional. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. John 3:16 tells us that. And then realize I'm not the only one who's got a problem. Amen. All right. Peter did commit individual sin, but not alone. The other disciples we see, they fled. They were guilty too. So this story is recorded for our benefit when we fall, Satan. Satan was involved. We can see he was trying to sift Peter. He was trying to destroy him and the other disciples. And he might shake us and he might sift us. He might try to stomp us underground. But God's love will raise us up from whatever ashes we are under. Satan wants to feel like you are alone. Nobody cares. No, you're just alone. You might as well just go somewhere in a corner and just go ahead and die. But you're not alone. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to all. And God is faithful. God will not let you be tempted upon what you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's something we all got to learn how to do. We got to learn to accept personal responsibility. Amen. Amen. I had to learn how to slow down. Amen. My personality is a very fast-moving one. Amen. I might have small-sized feet, but there's lead in the middle of them. So I had to learn how to ease up a little bit. I'm still working at it, huh, Pastor? But I'm doing much better. Praise God. Amen. We must learn to accept personal failure. Amen. The real source of moral failure is self. Everybody say it's self. It's self. That's the real source of moral failure. Amen. And the one way to avoid failure, amen, is to stay focused on Jesus. Stay in that word. Just stay in constant prayer and praise. Amen. Keep on praying on, praising on, and pressing on in the power and presence of Jesus Christ. Amen, saints, because the devil desires to sift you and all of us. He knows what strings to pull. How many know we all have some strings to pull to get our anger like, what did they just say? He knows what financial pressure to put in your life to make your blood pressure go a little higher. He knows how to trigger your impatience. He knows how to get under your skin and to get you all frustrated. So Jesus' warning to Peter is the same to you, to me today. Satan is trying to sift us, to destroy all that we are, to break our spirits, our hearts, our families, and our faith in God. And every time there is a problem with your kids, Satan is sifting. Satan is sifting. Every time you can't pay a bill, even though you're working hard and you're trying to be financially responsible, Satan is trying to irritate you. Every time you get angry for every little reason, you need to slow down and say, no, Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus. The sifting process, it never stops, saints. And it is very uncomfortable. It's never pleasant to realize that there is still some impatience within us. That's not very joyful to know, to see that there's still lumps of anger in different parts of our hearts and minds, and that we perhaps are lumpy with those angers, or we have weak faith in God. But thank God we have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your fellow believers. Amen. Saints, today there is good news for all of us today, saints. Because of Jesus Christ, every one of us can become a comeback kid. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Despite of our best intentions, there will be times in our lives when we will still fail. We give our best shot, yet at times we will fail. But praise God, we can come back. when it appears that everything is going wrong. Some days are just like that. We're falling behind, and leaning on the everlasting arms, we can make a comeback. Something so simple. Friday, I was trying to make it to a funeral service of one of our young people here whose grandparent had passed. I didn't know that they had given me the wrong address. I was going to find that church if it killed me. I mean, I spent an hour and 15 minutes down Shaker Boulevard. Shaker is really a hard street to not know where you're going because it's one way and one way. I'm like, I am going to find this church. And I just couldn't find it. I said, I'm going to call the family's home. I know they're still at the funeral. It's almost over, but I'm going to call and let them know I tried so hard to be there so that when they get home, that somebody answered the phone. I'm like, somebody's at the house. I said, this is Pastor Toby. I've been trying to get to this service. Now, the little ones had given me the address, and I said, I've been trying. She said, hold on, that ain't the right address. She gave me the real address. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's what happened. It was some felonious address, but they didn't know. They were trying to give me. But I was so frustrated, and it just seemed like after I spent all that time and used all that gas, I could have, you know, it was hard to regain where I was supposed to be. I had so many things to do. I just had to pull over in the car and say, Lord, this day is not going well. I just need you to turn me around. I need to come back right now so that the rest of this day can be prosperous in you. And do you know, I put on the tape for this Sunday service that the praise team was working on, and God put such a joy in my spirit. I'm like, this day isn't lost. Hallelujah. And I went on to about 500 million places, and I got so much accomplished for the rest of the day. God is a comeback God. Amen. We don't have to stay lost. Amen. I'm one who can really get lost easy, but I don't stay lost. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, saints, whether it's your career, your family, your relationships, or business, the ability to come back is what makes the difference in our lives as God's people. Our challenge is to let the power of God, saints, use us in a way that we rise up and regain our momentum. Amen. So no matter how far we get behind, we keep coming back. No matter what happens and pushes us back, the world hits us with defeat. Let's come back with an attitude of victory. If the world hits us with a failure, let's come back with a determination to succeed. Amen. If our relationships are interceded by the trials of life, let's come back and give each other forgiveness and restoration in another shot. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that we serve a God that will help us come back, saints. Help us in the fourth quarter of life, even when we have failed miserably and have fallen behind. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we serve a God who can turn defeat into victory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Misfortune into good fortune. Tragedy into opportunity. Amen. Blunders and mistakes and turn them into wonders. Oh, hallelujah. Take our doubts and wipe them out. Amen. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, I am so glad that I'm in Christ. It's good to be alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, it's good to be alive in Jesus Christ. Jesus was nailed to an old rugged cross, saints. Oh, they stuck a spear in his side. Oh, hallelujah. But when it was over, Jesus made a comeback. Thank you. On that third day, he rose again. Amen. And Jesus rose that we might have life and that we might have victory, not just eternal life, but abundant life right here on this earth. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. A comeback is when the underdogs become the top dogs, when losers become winners. And I wanted you to know that the Cavaliers, we coming back. Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger said in the movie Terminator, we'll be back. Amen. Look out, world. We will be back. Amen. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus wants all to enter into heaven. It's got to be through him. There is no other name by which we must be saved. So we've got to hold on to the Lord and trust in his unfailing love. Oh, saints, let the has failures, go put them under your feet. Stop letting them control you and step forward to receive and to experience your victories. I don't know if we can conclude with...
I can't believe this is happening. I can't. And I just want to say thanks to Apollo. Fight me, Apollo. I want to thank Mickey for training me.
We love you, Rock!
And I love you, too. Most of all, I want to thank God. Except for my kid being born. This is the greatest night in the history of my life. I just want to say one thing to my wife from home. Yo, Adrian! I did it!
Neighbor, continue to remain faithful. Continue to remain faithful and stay.